All right, so we're starting a new topic over here on Samach Vavon Beis. Okay, so it's a little bit of a complicated sugya that we're getting into. So let's see, let's just try to take it step by step. So, go ahead. Hi, Bastia, right? So, okay, so if you have a, so the Bastia is what? It's not totally clear what it is. But I mean, the basic shot is they make some hole in the barrel, right? The hole in the lid of the barrel. No. We're talking about big barrels, sealed up wooden barrels, no corks. So they would make a hole in the barrel, a bung hole, it's called. And whether they would insert some sort of a straw, whatever it was, but somehow they would suck in.
Aroma?
A deep breath of the aroma to test what's the purpose of this. The Rashi says, "Libodko im yochol liskayim." Right, they want to know if they can continue, if you should continue to age the wine or not. Right, so they take a deep breath in to determine if the wine is good to be stored or if it needs to be drunk. Okay. So if it's a guy testing the Jew's wine, that's not a problem. Because he's not touching it, he's not moving it. All right, if he holds the straw, it's a little bit more complicated. But still, he's not moving it with his yudayim. It's called throros. But anyway, that's not the problem we're focusing on. We're focusing on the next problem. The problem is, what if a Yisrael is testing the wine of an Ovid Kohen? Right, so he's sucking it in. Not with the nose, right? They want to say with the mouth. What does Rashi? Rashi explain? Which way?
Just Lariach.
Just Lariach.
Like,
with the nose. Sounds like it. Okay.
The note on the side says, P.
Who says that?
P.M.
In the from the Aruch. That's from the Aruch. That's the Aruch. You know who the Aruch is?
Who says this?
The Aruch is the oldest dictionary we have. He's a Rishon, I believe. See, it says Erech Tafei. He wrote like a dictionary of certain terms and ideas. So that's his pshat. Nekev, yeah. Right. That's what Tosa says. Doesn't Tosa say the same thing for Rashi?
Yeah.
And
the Ron says with his mouth.
That helps.
Well, I mean, Rashi doesn't say, Tosa doesn't say mouth, but he says he inserts a straw, even according to Rashi. He wants you with the straw because he wants to say he's doing it with the mouth. That's why he needs the straw. No. I mean, that's what he's getting at. I mean, it's like the lashon of bas, right? But anyway, but bottom line is, it's a deep. You're taking a deep breath in of this of the smell of the ayin aseh, right? So he's breathing in he's taking in the smell of the wine. Which orifice exactly is it going in through? We're not sure. But the nose, the mouth. One of the face, it's a face experience. So he's getting the wine through his mouth or his nose. Okay, so what is the machlokas? So Abai says it's asur, and Rava says it's mutter.
Asur in regards to the Jew.
When the Jew does it to the guy's wine. Yeah, go ahead.
Yisrael v'de ovi kochavim, Abai amur asur, Rava amur mutter. Abai amur asur, recha milzi, Rava amur mutter, recha lav milzi.
Right. So Abai says it's asur because recha milsi, smell is something. Smell is a thing. And Rava says it's mutter, smell is nothing. Okay, this is the beginning of our problems. Okay, so the first problem that we have to deal with is it's yayin nesach. Okay? And smelling is generally some sort of a hano. So why isn't it usher? Why isn't it just simply being a nene from Yayin Nesach? I mean, how could Rava say, you're smelling, we have many cases where We say you're not allowed to smell things that are asur b'hanah, because the smell is a hanah. So yayin esach is asur b'hanah. So how is it possible to say that you can smell something that's asur b'hanah? Isn't that a hanah? I mean, it's not, you can't say smell is not a hanah. We know that from many places. The smell is a hanah. Make a bracha on it. Birkas hanan. I mean, how could you say it's not a hanah? Now, before we know what the problem is, we have to eliminate what it's not. So for some reason, they're not, it doesn't seem like they're concerned with Isra Hanah. So that's the first question that Rishonim deal with. Alright, so there are a couple of, there are two basic approaches, I think, that you find in the Rishonim to deal with this problem. I mean, everybody agrees to the Maskana that it's not a problem of Reach, it's not a problem of Hanah. But why it's not a problem of Hanah is interesting, is an interesting question. So let's start with, I told you last time that the Rif goes through the whole Inyan in Gid HaNasha, in Chulin. And the Ran in the Chulin, on Lam Beis, takes up this question. So he says like this. Abayi Omar Osir Recha Milsi. Yeah. Lav Mishum HaNoa De Recha Pligi. They're not talking about the Isra of Recha. I Mitzar Olo. The ukimno hasam bigmar plug sayed the bayv rava kitanoi. Titanya with the paschamo v'nos napi chav shul yayin shul truma remeos reviewed a matir. The bayk rava kriyuda the bayk remeir rava kriyuda. Mochel like lemeir mishuma no milsi. Da not the truma shari rishayu lebiachpa. Okay, fine. I don't want to get into that issue first, but he's saying factually from the fact they're lining it up with the machlokas of truma, and truma is not an isra hanah. You see, they're not arguing about isra hanah. But what I'm interested in is the second part of the run. Va'od da kaimlon ki Rabbi Shimon, da omer davar sheim eskavein mutar. Okay, so requires a little bit of background information here, right? I mean, everybody's familiar in Shabbos with the question of Dover Shein Miskavein. Is the Dover Shein Miskavein Mutter or Asr? Right? So what is the basic case of Dover Shein Miskavein? What's the basic case? Well, you're warm, but before psikration. Without psikration.
You're walking with the bench.
Right, so you have the case over there, and it's in Shabbos and in Psachim also, where you have the case like this. The guy has a bench, right? Person has a bench in his backyard and he wants to move it to sit down wherever in the shade. So in order to move the bench, he drags it. He decides to drag the bench. Okay? And it's possible that in the course of dragging the bench, he'll create some sort of a furrow. Okay? And we have to assume that the... it will create some sort of a furrow. So that's the machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. It's brought down many places in Shabbos. That's called the Dover Shein HaMiskavein. I was making a ditch would be Asur on Shabbos. To dig that little ditch on Shabbos would be an Isur of Choresh. Okay? But what's he really want to do? All he wants to do is move the bench. So his overt maisa, his main intention is to move the bench from here to there, right? It might happen that it'll create a ditch, which would then be an Isser of Choresh. So Rabbi Shimon holds, as long as he doesn't intend to make that ditch, and his only thought is on moving the bench, it doesn't matter that it might happen. We don't define the Maisa by what might happen. We define the Maisa by his intention. So his intention is simply to move the bench from point A to point B, which is Mutter. And the fact that a Maisa of Choresh may occur or may not occur is irrelevant as long as he's not intending for it. That's called an Eina Miskaven. So, like the Mechaber says, you can walk on grass. You don't have to be careful about maybe you'll pull out a blade of grass because you're not Miskaven for it. You have no intention for that. Okay. So, and that's not just a machlokas by Shabbos, because the Gemara in Psachim brings it down for Hana. The Gemara over there is, I guess we should take a look at that case, but I don't really want to get into it. But anyway, it's very complex over there. But the basic case over there is a case where a person is going to work. Okay, he has a route to work. And his route to work takes him past an idolatrous temple. Okay? And every day on his way to work, they happen to be burning Ketores. And he has to walk by to get to that place, to get to work. And he could smell the reach of the Ketores. So that's what the Gemara calls Hano Habo Li Adam Bal Karcho. He's not intent. He's just walking to work, and he gets a whiff of the Hano. He gets a whiff of the Ketores. Okay. So the Gemara says over there too that Rabbi Shimon holds, as long as you're not miskaven for it, you just want to go to work, just so happens it comes by once in a while, that's mutter. Okay. So that's what he's quoting when he's quoting the Gemara himself. So he wants to say over here, what's interesting is, now what's very complicated in that Gemara is, what does it mean, what exactly does it mean, miskaven, ina miskaven? It's very, very complicated, but let's just try to stay above the fray, and let's just stick with the way he's learning things. So what's he saying? He's saying now that as long as you're an Eino Miskaven, we'll get to your psikration in a minute, as long as you're Eino Miskaven, then it's mutter, right? So you're doing one, what does it mean Eino Miskaven? It means you're doing one Maisa. To be an Eino Miskaven means you have to be doing one innocent action, and then something else might be coming along with it. But you're not intending for that something else. Right? So what's he saying over here? So he's saying a funny thing. He's saying that this guy is what? He's certainly not a Miskaven.
Which case is that?
The Bastia guy.
Uh-huh.
The wine tester. He goes down to the Yayin Nesef factory, takes a big, big noseful or mouthful of the smell of the Yayin, and the Ron says he's not a Miskaven.
He's measuring.
He's not a Miskaven for what? What are you saying?
No.
For the Hano. It's Hano de lo Mechaven le. That's what he's doing. He's not Miskaven le Honos miyayin. So how is he learning? How is he putting the miskaven? He's saying he's not a miskaven for the hanah. So what does that mean? It means he doesn't care about getting benefit. He's not in it for the smell. He's not in it for the pleasure of the smell. That's the way he's explaining it, right? Because what's this guy doing? He's a professional. He's a professional. He knows how to determine if the wine is going to go bad or if it can be stored. And it takes certain senses of the nose to determine that. But he's not going down there to enjoy himself. Right? So that's how he's learning it over here. He's saying, he's an Eino Miskaven for the Hano.
Who is this, by the way?
Oh, I'm reading the Ron. The Ron is the one. Right. So he says, as long as the guy is going to do it, as long as his intention is not for the Hano, it's just a regular case of Eina Miskaven. But it's not. Right? We all know that it's not. Why is it not?
Psikresha.
Because it's a psikresha. Because even though we said in general, we say that when there's a machlokas Rabbi Yehud and Rabbi Shimon by dragging the bench, right? And Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter if you're not miskaven for the choretz. But everybody agrees if the bench is so heavy that it will definitely make that mark, that's called a psikresha. And then the Gemara says even Rabbi Shimon is moda that the psik ratio is asr, even though you're not miskaven. Right? So the problem is, the guy is going there with the intention. Who cares with his intention? We only look at intention when the iser may or may not come. So that's, we only look at intention when the iser may or may not be part of your maaser. So if a guy is pulling a light bench that may or may not make a scratch, so that's, and he doesn't intend for the scratch, so then we say, okay, so the mark in the ground is just whatever, incidental. It's not part of what he's doing. It's incidental. It's not part of what he's doing. Why? Because it doesn't have to happen. Can't define this maaser as definitively gouging the ground, because it may or may not happen. And it's not part of the maaser because he's not intending it. So mitzad, from the tzad of the definition of the maaser on its own right, it's not choresh, because it's not necessarily going to happen or not. And in terms of his purpose, it's not choresh. So then we say, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter. But the problem is over here, how can you compare it to an Eina Miskaven? Whether he intends to get the Hanoh or not, he certainly is getting the Hanoh. He's getting the enjoyment right into his mouth. He's getting the flavor and the experience of the smell of the yayin. Right? So that's what he asks. He says, V'chi teima psik reishehu v'kaimon demod rebishim v'psik reishe v'lo yomos. So you say, okay, very nice that he's not a Rasha. And he's not trying to go and get enjoyment from Yayin Esach. But Lamaisa, that's what he does every time he sucks in the air. So it's a psik reisha. Kavana only helps when it may or may not occur. But if it's definitely going to occur, then we don't care about whether what you're miskaving for or not.
Was there a legitimate humming to say that this is any miskaving, or is it just, he's just bringing up the point?
Well, let's see. I mean, he still thinks it's a certain kind of an miskaving. He holds an ain't a miskaving for the no. But he says, but who cares? You know, I'm scavenging for that. No,
right.
It's going to happen. It's like saying, I don't care about the ditch, but it's definitely going to happen. So we say it's usher. The guy says, I really don't care about the ditch, right? But it's definitely going to happen when I pull the bench. So we say, too bad. That's a psikration. So too here. It's true. He's saying he doesn't care about that. No, but it's going to happen. So the question is raised: is it, maybe it's not a psikration? Maybe exactly. Sometimes the barrels don't smell good. So I would have to say that it's not a matter of if the barrel smells good. You're making a sly assumption that if the barrel smells good,
no matter what,
then the wine is good. And if the barrel smells bad, then the wine is bad. That's an amateur's mistake. Truth of the matter is, they all probably smell good, but they have to smell good the right way in order to be to last. He's not checking if they're wine or vinegar. They're all wine. But not every wine is roy for l'eskayim. You know what I mean? So he's an expert. He can tell, you and I would just say, oh, they all smell good. He says, it's true, they all smell good, but this one has a certain thing in it that I can tell will become great if you age it. And this one you better drink in the next week or it's going to be vinegar. I'm just surmising. So the Ron gives a very interesting answer. A very, very interesting answer. He says like this. He says, Dil'inyin hanoh. You start with Lisa? Yeah. V'chitim psikreishu d'kaimelon, d'mod rishim psikreishu v'lo yomos. Lisa. It's not a problem of psikreishu. Why? Dil'inyin hanoh vadai afal gav dahavi psik reishe shari. Unbelievable, Ron. He says, by hanoh, even if it's a psik reisha, but you don't care about it, it's mutter. Da'amrinon hasa mochre ksus, mochre kedarkon, ubavash lo yichavnu b'cham ne'acham b'ksham ne'egesham. So the case over there is, let's say a guy sells shatnez. That's his business, he sells shatnez.
So
that's what ksus is for? He's talking about ksus of shanas. He sells shanas. So how do you sell something? You put it on, you show them. You model it for the guy. Right? So the Gemara says, you're allowed to model the shanas for the customers as long as you're not miskaven to get hana from it. So he says, you see from that, but it's a psik ratio, you're wearing it. So he wants to say, you can see from that vaday mati lehano. He's definitely getting some benefit out of wearing the jacket. Ela dekevan delo mechavein lo, lo chashvinan lo midi. A hano that you don't intend for is nothing. Ela al korchach pluksayu da bayev rov bahano da achila tolya. Da bayev sov recha milsa. So that's his main move. That by Hanoah, intention is everything. There's no such thing as a Hanoah that you're not miskaven for. That's not a Hanoah. So the question was, how could you do it? It's a psik resha on Hano. It's true he's not miskaven for it, but still it's a psik resha of Hano. And his answer is no. As long as this guy is a professional and he doesn't care about the Hano means nothing to him, then he's not a nan at all. Just like the guy who puts on the jacket to show somebody how it looks. He's not getting any benefit. He has no interest in the benefit that he gets from that jacket. So he's not a nana. By the case of Shabbos, if a guy pulls the chair and he makes the ditch, he made the ditch. You can't say he didn't make the ditch because he doesn't care about it. If it's a psik ratio, you can't say it's not a maisa of digging because he doesn't care about it. Definitively, it's a maisa of digging. Or by achila, he says. If it's a case of eating, you can't say, I'm not eating because I don't care about the eating. But you can say, I'm not enjoying if I don't care about the enjoying. Deep, huh? When he uses the term kavan over here, he means motivation. Right? Isn't that what he means, basically? When he says he's not miskaven lehanos miyayin esach, the lav bershi askina. So what does he mean? He means the guy has no intention of getting that kind of a benefit from the yayin esach. It's not his intention at all. He's not a rasha who wants to enjoy the smell. He's doing it as a professional. Now Gil's question is a good question, but lemaisa, is he enjoying it? That's your question, Gil. He doesn't seem concerned about that. He just wants to know what is his intent. He's coming to this with a kavana of what?
The motivation is the right word.
His motivation is just to determine the quality of the yayin. But the hanoah is a psik resha. That's exactly his question, Gil. And he does seem to be motivated that the guy will enjoy it. Right? The hanoah is a psik resha. So that's his chiddush over here. But what is exactly, how does it exactly work? His chiddush is that what? That you don't say by hanoah psik resha. You don't say by hanoah psik resha. You say it by achilo, but you don't say it by hanoah. So therefore, just to finish up his point, therefore Abaye and Rava are not arguing about hanoah, because everybody's moda in the framework of hanoah. It's mutter because he's not miskaving for hanoah. And there's no issur of psikresha by Hanoah. So if it was just an inyan of Hanoah, everybody would agree there's no issur. So that's why you have to say they're arguing in a realm of achila. Is the deep breathing of the yayin like a shasia? And then we don't care about kavana? You don't say because a guy didn't want to drink, he didn't drink. You don't say because the guy wasn't intending, to drink, but his job is it requires him to drink, you don't say he's not drinking. But you can say if a guy is not intending to get hanoah, but his job requires him to do something that he does get hana from, you can say he's not enjoying. Alright, so Yehuda's making an observation. Let's just state it as an observation at first. Let's just state it as an observation.
I feel like I oversimplified.
That Hanoah is not a Maisa. That's what he's saying. Hanoah is not a Maisa. You can say Achila is a Maisa. That's ingesting the food. You can say sniffing is a Maisa. That's bringing the aerated particles into your nose. But quote unquote hano is like a pleasure, an experience that comes after the maisa. Is an experience that comes after the maisa. That's the observation. Okay. Now what do we do with it?
Right.
So what Yehuda is trying to do with it is this, if I understand it correctly. He's saying that psik reisha can only drag in a maisa. Right? But Hanoah is not an Issur Maisa. It's not a Maisa. So you can say, I'm sniffing, but isn't the sniffing the Maisa?
Yeah, but sniffing is something everyone uses as passing.
What's
the stopping for sniffing?
What's the other Maisa? Yeah.
With dragging the bench, then you have...
Well, here's you're testing the wine. I mean, your Maisa of sniffing is really to test the wine. Right? So will you say simultaneously you're doing a sniffing of Hanoah while you're doing a sniffing of testing the wine? So he's saying, no, you can't say that.
Why not? That's why I don't get
the
question.
Hanoah is the effect of the sniffing.
I think we have to bring this out of the technicalities and into a little bit more of a...
Me saying that,
I mean, and also the question you raise is a very good point. I mean, at the end, when he talks about the Chalavim and Arayos... He does go back to Ano.
Yeah, that's what the question is.
Shikvar Nene. Shikvar Nene.
It's just Stalakasha between the cases.
Yeah, no, I think you're essentially you're right. I think essentially you're right. But can you define the Isra of Ano then for us? That's what I'm looking for. So how can you formulate the Isra of Ano? So the Isra, how does the Isra of Ano work then? So what is the Isra of Ano? In other words, it's hard to define, really. But the way the Ron is looking at it is he's saying the species of Isra Hanoah is different from a regular Isra Maisa. Isra Achila is an Isra Maisa. And you don't need Kavana at all. You don't need Kavana at all. You already had Hanoah's Achila is just a Hanoah's Maisa. That's the definition. The maisa itself is the maisa itself is the benefit that you're getting from it. So you already did the maisa. You kvar nana means that the thing occurred. Nothing is missing. But it seems he's learning that when we say there's an isser hanoah, it really is an isser of the gavra to be mitztaref to the cheftza in a certain way. In other words, it's not doing something with the cheftza. It's doing it to the cheftza. In other words, you can define Isra Achila just in terms, just mechanically. Isra Achila can be defined mechanically. That this cheftza has an Isra to do the Maisa, has an Isra of a Maisa Achila. So, did you do the Maisa Achila? Yeah, it went down your throat. That's it, you did the Maisa Achila. But the Isser HaNoah is not a Maisa at all. The Isser HaNoah is to relate to the Cheftza in a certain way. But relating to the Cheftza is a matter of Kavana. Turning it into an entity of... The Isser HaNoah really is not the HaNoah per se. It's that being a Nene is defining the Cheftza in a certain way. Is defining your relationship to the Cheftza in a certain way. Like we were saying earlier, it's somewhat being machshav the Cheftza. But it's not translated, you can't translate it into Maisa. So therefore we're saying, per se, the Isser HaNoah needs Kavana. Without Kavana, you're not you're not considered to be relating to the chepza in the derech hano. So therefore, psik reish is never going to help you by yisra hano, because all psik reish can do is tell you you did a maisa, but it's not going to say that you're related to it in a certain way. It's not going to say that you treated it a certain way. In the way of hano, in the way of saying it's a beneficial, it's an object of desire. It doesn't. There's no statement of the gavra about that. So that's how he's mechalik, that achila doesn't need kavan at all. Even if the case of mistasik b'chalav means the guy didn't even know he had the food in his mouth. He thought it was phlegm. Mucus, and he swallowed it, and it was chalav. He didn't even know he was doing it. It's not like shogeg. It's not like he thought it was.
Where do you find the mucus?
Kosher. Where do you find mucus in your throat? So he thought it was kosher. It's not that he thought it was shuman, and it turned out to be chalav, because then he has kavana for a ma'aser achila. He wants to show you that achila doesn't even need kavana at all. It's all defined by the tzur of the maisa, because that's an isser maisa, but isser hana is an isser of relationship.
Well, doesn't it say that you're getting hana by the achila?
It means to say you were nene from the achila, but he's saying that the isser of hanoas achila is not an isser of how you relate of making a statement of relationship to the chefza. It's No, let's put it this way. This is exactly the point. He's not saying you're not a nen. He's not saying there's no experience of hano without kavana. Because then he would be sosur himself. Right? He's not saying there's no experience of hano, there's no feeling of hano without kavana. That's not what he's saying. Because then, how could you say that the misasik b'chalavim was kvar nena if he had no kavana? Right? But he's saying when something is only an Isser Hana, then the Isser is in terms of relating to it b'derech Hana. It's an Isser of the Gavra, right, to derive benefit from it. But the Isser of Achila is just a Hanoas Achila per se. It has nothing to do with making a statement about the chefza or trying to relate to it in a certain way. So by achila, the fact that it went down and you enjoyed it, it means that you were ochel. That's the definition of achila. You had hanoas achila. So and it's just the achila per se that's aser. The maisa itself is aser. The hanoa means that it shows you there's no difference between this achila and any other achila. You did a normal achila. It's not shaloka derech achila so. It was derech achila so. You ate it and you had the normal enjoyment of eating. Right? That means you did the maisa achila. But by the guy who's smelling the yayin, even though he had the hanoa of the smelling, it's not a maisa of smelling, that's usher. It's relating to the Isser in a derech of hana. But if that wasn't his kavana, then it's true he had the experience of the smell, but the experience is not Isser. It's that the experience is a vehicle of relating to it in a certain way. But if he had no kavana, then you can't say he used the hana to access this chefza. He used this hana as a way to be mitzdarif to it in a certain way. He didn't, it just was incidental. All it means by the chalavim is that you ate it it was just a ma'isa achila. It was no different than any other ma'isa achila. It's true you didn't intend it to happen. You didn't know what was going on. But la'ma'isa was a normal, it was regular achila. It went down in the same way that every other food goes down. So you were kfar nana means you already did, I don't know why it takes the case of misasik. It's a little bit, misasik is the strongest case, because normally it's only by chalav, it's only by achila and the arayas. But he's saying that l'maisa, over there the hanor is defining the maisa. The hanor is showing you, the fact that it was a nen, that shows you it was a normal maisa. But the essence is, it's not an iser hanor, it's an iser maisa. It's an iser achila. Kvar nen, that means it was just a regular maisa hanor. Right, regular maisa achila. But by the yayin esach, if you say there's an iser hanor, it means like an iser of forging a certain kind of a relationship with the object. And even though I'm not internalizing it begufo, in other words, achila means I'm osik in the cheftza per se. The full entity is being consumed. But hanoah means that the object is still there, but I'm relating to it in a certain way. I'm creating a certain kind of a relationship with it. Through the hanoah, I'm relating to it. It's like a means of relating to the object through its hanoah. But without kavana, you don't say you made any relationship. Right? Like if I accidentally shook somebody's hand, it doesn't mean we formed any kind of a relationship. Right? I shook his hand, but it doesn't mean anything. So you're saying without the kavana, the hano is not like an iser maiser like achila. It's an iser of a certain kind of a tziruf to the object. Not only can't you take the guf adavar and consume it, but you can't even engage it in a certain way. But it's a maisa of the gavra of engaging it. Without the kavana, you're not doing it. Right. So this is an example of the chalavim, is if a guy accidentally ate chalev, so he would be chayev achatas. But if he accidentally got a hanah, that's nothing, according to what he's saying. Saying it's nothing. It's not that you did a maisa. It's not that you did an iser without kavana. The guy ate chalev without kavana, so he did the maisa of achilas chalev because it's just defined as a maisa. He did it without kavana. Okay, so he's a shogeg. But if a guy got a hanoa without knowing it was coming, he would say he did nothing. He experienced hanoa. It's true, he experienced hanoa. But the iser is not to experience hanoa. The iser is to engage the chefts of b'derech hanoah. So you can't say you engage something without your das. It engaged you; you didn't engage it. But achila happened. I'm trying to bring them together a little bit more closely. I'm trying to say they both have to do with relating to the chefts of. But achila is just an intrinsic, factual relationship that lamaisa, it was you ingested it. The whole cheftza was consumed. That's an intrinsic thing, right? That's in terms of the guf hadavar. But you can say that even without affecting the guf hadavar, we can make a certain more superficial relationship. But that requires a kavana. So you can't say I ate it accidentally doesn't mean that doesn't mean you didn't eat it. I mean, achila is the hanoah of the consumption itself.
Rabbi?
Yeah. So in other words, actually the halacha is like this. That depends on how the Torah expresses the iser. If the Torah expresses the iser with lashon achila, then you'll only be over b'derech achila. Okay. So that's like the Ram says. We say if you eat something shelo kederach hanaso, like let's say you have a chazer. So chazer is an iser achila. So if you eat it when it's burning hot or when it's really bitter, then you're not over, because that's not the derach of achila. But if there's an iser hanor and it doesn't say achila, then even if you eat it shelo kederach hanaso, you're over. Like basar b'chalav. Torah never says don't eat basar b'chalav. So since it doesn't use the lashon achila, it's just lo savasho three times. So since it doesn't use the lashon achila, so then we hold even if you eat it shelo kederech hanaso, it's also. Even if you eat it bitter or burning hot. But that's because that's an intrinsic relationship to the chefza. You consumed it. You did something to it, the maisa you internalized it, but so then it would definitely then you're going to be over anyway. All right, that's the way the Ron seems to take care of the problem. He wants to take care, he's trying to take care of the problem by saying that what? That you're not a miskaven, and in Yone Hanoh, an Eina miskaven is not a Mais Hanoh. Because Mais Hanoh is a certain kind of an activity towards the Chefza. That's what it is. It's a certain tashmish of the Chefza. Hanoh is a certain way of being mishtamish with the object. But if you have no kavana, then you're not mishtamish that way. But the other Rishonim seem to disagree. The other Rishonim take a different approach. Right? We'll see that. I guess we'll take a look at that tomorrow. The Ron really is the only one I saw that has this kind of an answer. The other Rishonim all take the other approach. First of all, the funny thing is they're like wishy-washy. They keep like back and forth. Is he a mechavin or is he not a mechavin? That seems to be like a... But they all start out with the assumption he's a mechavin. He's a miskavin for the Hanoh. So I mean, that's one question we have to think about. They're learning he's a miskavin. And then they try to work out, even though he's a miskavin, why is it mutter? Right, Sotosis?
Sure.
On your base? Yeah. But that's those are the two main approaches. Either say he's not a miskaven like the Ron. Psikresha? No. Psikresha by ain't a miskaven, psikresha by Hanoh is nothing. Or say he is a miskaven, and there's another reason why over here is mutter. Well, see, that's the Tosis takes that approach. The Ramban seems to take that approach.